Thanks for listening to the Secular Hubcast, a podcast made possible through a grant from the American Humanist Association. This show is a project of the Secular Hub, a Denver nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting community, altruism, reason, and education across the diverse secular community of the Front Range region. For more information and to become a member, visit secularhub.org.
Hello and welcome to the Secular Hubcast.
Sorry, I just wanted to go, hello!
Hi!
Hello!
How good to see you.
All right.
So this is Jesse Gilbertson. I'm your host, Jesse Gilbertson. Chauncey!
Hello, Jesse!
How are you doing, Chauncey?
I'm doing fine.
Well, it's real nice to have you here. It's been a little bit since you've been on the Hubcast. How you been lately?
I've been busy, but good, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was nice. I saw you at the Hub this morning at the pancake breakfast.
So yep.
Getting some quality time with the folks down at the Hub.
Absolutely, yeah. Some delicious pancakes, hanging out with the peeps, rejoining my community after some busyness that has kept me away.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
In addition to Chauncey, we have Paul. Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Great.
Also good to see you, Chauncey. It's been a while.
Likewise, Paul.
So I tweeted out the pancake breakfast to every district representative in Colorado that had a Twitter account.
Oh, interesting.
Were there any new faces? Any representatives?
I didn't notice any representatives, but I didn't ask specifically. There were some new faces.
These were state representatives, but
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully that was one of them.
Yeah.
We'll That'd be cool.
Them. Maybe.
There was a couple new people.
I should have gone.
Yeah. You know, next month, first Sunday, 10 a.m., that's the next pancake breakfast. So it's great to have you guys both with us today. We've been looking ahead and thinking about the calendar because it's cold out, snowing like crazy outside right now. So on these kind of dreary days, sometimes it's nice to look ahead and think about when times get warm. And that made me think about spring. And in April, there's a fun annual event called Ask an Atheist Day. Now, the concept of Ask an Atheist Day was kind of new to me just a few years ago. And Chauncey, back then you were on the board of directors of the Secular Hub, and you kind of introduced me to the idea and how it's popularized by the Secular Student Alliance specifically. So I was wondering if you could take it away and just kind of let me know a little bit about what is the Ask an Atheist Day all about?
Sure. Yeah. So I actually can't remember how I first learned about National Ask an Atheist Day, but it is something that comes from the Secular Student Alliance, or at least that's how I know it in its current form. And, you know, according to their own website, it's an opportunity for secular groups across the country like ours to work together to defeat stereotypes about atheism and encourage courteous dialogue between believers and non-believers. And so it gives us an opportunity to go out, represent ourselves rather than letting ourselves be represented by others, and to just form some of those bonds that help folks know us for who we are rather than who others may say we are.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah, I was pretty interested as soon as I heard about the idea. Chauncey, what's the date of Ask an Atheist Day?
So there are actually two Ask an Atheist Days over the course of the year. The first one, the one that's coming up, is on April 18th. That's a Thursday. And there's one later in the year on September 20th.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, we're definitely interested in the one on April 18th. The Secular Hub has done outreach on Ask an Atheist Day in the past, but we don't have anything scheduled this year. Can you tell me a little bit, Chauncey, about what kind of events we've done in the past for outreach on Ask an Atheist Day?
Real quick, let me just throw in there, for the listeners out there that want to get involved with the Hub, volunteer, stuff like that, this would be your chance to spearhead an event. You could come in and we could plan something for Ask an Atheist Day.
Absolutely. All the events that happen at the Hub are 100% volunteer led. So we're definitely always looking for new people to do outreach stuff.
That's true.
So if somebody did want to do something for Ask an Atheist Day this year, what are some past examples that you can give us?
Yeah. So for Ask an Atheist Day, I think last year, maybe the year before, I took a sort of multi-pronged approach toward it. One was, because this is really a student-oriented event, to have an event on a college campus. And so we went to Colorado Christian University and engaged with some of the students and faculty there. Something else we did was went out onto Denver's 16th Street Mall. It's sort of a pedestrian walkway in the Denver downtown area. Went out, set up a booth, and basically made ourselves available for folks who were interested in learning more about what it means to be an atheist or who just sort of had questions.
All right. Yeah, I participated in, I didn't go to the college one, but I did the 16th Street Mall one with you, Paul. Would you give our listeners a description of what the 16th Street Mall is and all of its beautiful, freakish glory?
Yeah, so it's just an outdoor mall, essentially. It has a free bus that goes up and down the mall continuously, day and night. It's filled with bars, music venues. There's a cinema there. There are tons of corporate offices and apartments, and it has probably one of the more eclectic gatherings of Denverites in the city. If you want to go and see a little bit of everything that the city has to offer as far as culture and people, the 16th Street Mall is at least a good place to start. I would recommend it. They have really cool events there. Like they have drum circles and they do like street plays and they have...
But there's a lot of impromptu, just people like buskers playing music and...
Yeah, they have... They
street preachers.
Yeah, they have street preachers. They have people that do magic. They have a guy that pretends he's a robot.
The robot guy, yeah. He's been here since him. He's been here since like the 80s. That guy's been here around forever.
Yeah, he's super cool. And... yeah, they have like drum competitions where two drummers will kind of pass.
So it's definitely it's a place for people to go and make a spectacle of yourself and get attention. And that's what we did. We've also done big festivals, you know, because going down to 16th Street Mall, that was just get a one-time license and just go there on a random Sunday. But we also do some of the big festivals. Colorado People's Fair, which is one of the giant festivals. We do Pride Fest, March for Science. So we do a lot of outreach stuff. In addition to face-to-face outreach activities, Chauncey, you've done social media stuff. Is that right? Have you made
that
yourself?
Is right.
Like on Facebook, you say, I'm an atheist. Everybody who is on my friends list, or how do you do it?
That's pretty much it. Yeah. So if you go to the Secular Student Alliance website, they've got some Ask an Atheist promotional material, including some images. And so there's one that I like that says, I'm an atheist, ask me anything. And so I'll post that on my Facebook page with, you know, basically a invitation for anyone who has questions about my atheism to ask away.
Interesting. So it's an image that is on their website. It's really eye-catching, and it says, ask me anything, and you just download it and make that your profile, or what?
I just sort of post it as a picture on my wall.
Oh, okay, got it. And then anybody who sees that post, who's then curious. So you must feel pretty confident speaking openly about your atheism on social media.
I am, yeah. Generally, those posts are such that friends can see them, but I'm not especially concerned about that getting out personally.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of engagement?
I have at times, yeah. I have some religious friends who are pretty open-minded and interested in talking about these sorts of topics. And so they've, I think, because I've established a relationship with them in the past, felt comfortable having these conversations with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's encouraging.
What about you, Paul? Have you done anything aside from... Because you've helped out at the 16th Street Mall booth, mm-hmm. as well as Pride Fest.
Yes.
What have you ever done the social media thing? Post open.
I have. Yeah, I was basically shooting out Twitter posts and talking to people that follow me. So my Twitter automatically posts to my Facebook as well, and a lot of what I would get was more like trolling. You know, you'd get like a one-off response.
Okay.
Of like, you know, enjoy hell, or, well, how can you say that? Because, you know, look at a tree, and how do you, what's your understanding of how that came to be or something like that? And then basically what they do is they don't respond after you respond. So you think somebody's going to engage with you, but they're not. They're just looking to kind of throw something at you and then disappear.
Fair enough. Have you done anything else besides that, like in person or anything to try and make it known in general that you're an atheist?
Oh, yeah. I'm not shy about my atheism. So I've had a multitude of conversations with friends, family, ex-girlfriends, you know, anybody really that asks me anything religious or whatever. I'll just say, you know, I'm not religious. I don't believe in God. Right. And sometimes that goes over well, like in the case of most of my friends and family. Sometimes it doesn't go over so well. I mean, some of my friends and family have had negative responses. And then in the case of like ex-girlfriends, I have probably, I don't know, half a dozen examples of where they didn't want to be in a relationship because of that. So it's really sort of all over the board.
Okay. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, do any of us have plans for to mark Ask an Atheist Day this year? Because I wasn't planning to do anything. I kind of just always jump on the Hub bandwagon, but the Hub doesn't have a wagon this year. So I guess if I want to do something for Ask an Atheist Day, I'm going to have to come up with a plan on my own. Are you guys doing anything?
I'll probably do the Facebook Ask an Atheist Day as I have in the past. I've got new Facebook friends and people that I've engaged with in new ways over this last year. And so they may be more willing to have the back and forth conversation. And so I'll at least do that. I haven't decided if I'll try to organize anything outside of my own efforts or just tag along with others' efforts.
Okay.
I think I'm going to actually take it upon myself to organize something. You said you went to the Christian college, and that intrigues me a lot. I would probably look for a similar venue, if not the same venue, and then put it past the board at the Hub and find out if they have any objections or whatever, and then start getting it organized. So after finding out that nothing's happening, that sounds like fun. Because I got to say, the 16th Street Mall, while it's an entertaining place to hang out, it wasn't terribly productive with the Ask an Atheist theme. But you said the Christian college was just it was a great place to go. So lots of engagement. And that's really what I think most of us are looking for. When I heard there was an event, I was like, great, I'll get to engage with Christians or whoever. Yeah. Okay. But there wasn't a ton of engagement on the mall. So.
Well, Paul, that's pretty cool to hear that you're planning to do something. Let me know if you need some help.
Me too. I've got all sorts of like written materials online that I can pass along and we can talk about.
Sure. Yeah. I was thinking of basically doing like a street epistemology version of it.
Okay.
And have like some common questions, stuff like that, and then see how people want to engage. That'd be kind of fun.
Cool.
And maybe we could even publish it on YouTube.
That'd be fun. So we're all pretty engaged. We're all people who have participated in the past in volunteering to do these Ask an Atheist events and go stand in front of people, random strangers, and just take all their questions and really engage with them in a civil manner, taking their questions seriously, trying to treat the individuals with respect and give them honest and clear answers to how we really feel. Why does it matter? Paul, if you wouldn't mind taking this first, why does it matter?
Yeah, so I think it's really important to understand that it benefits the atheist community in kind of a multitude of ways. First and foremost, it encourages believers and non-believers to interact in a respectful way. When you're person-to-person, face-to-face, or in small groups like this, it's pretty easy to recognize and empathize with the person you're talking to. And so it's harder for you to be rude or crude or anything like that. And it encourages a respectful and supportive environment. I think that's really important. I think it's important to have I'm going to put it in air quotes, but I mean it in the actual sense, a safe space to have these conversations where you won't feel like you'll be attacked. Or when I say attack, I just mean verbally. But you won't feel like your worldview is under attack by your interlocutor. So it's important for that in that respect. I also think it's important to dispel common misconceptions about atheism and what it means. I think a lot of people think that atheism has sort of like its own set of dogma or like a book of here's what being an atheism or being what an atheist is. And a lot of people don't realize that it doesn't have all this really rich and flourishing philosophy behind it. And it's important to get that out into the world of what atheism is and why we are atheists.
Okay.
It helps people to understand secular life and the beliefs that atheists do hold. So once you become an atheist, then it's up to you to figure out the rest, right? So where are you going to base your morality? How are you going to understand your worldview? How are you going to get from, maybe you used to be a Christian, how are you going to get from your old Christian belief system to the new one, which would be hopefully in something a little bit more evidence-based.
Right. It's tricky. You said something there, like, what do atheists believe? But that's kind of the most annoying thing is, like, we're not a monolithic, right? We don't all agree, except on that one point about there not being a God or not believing in a God for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, atheism isn't a belief system.
Right.
So it's important to get that out there, right? It's important to answer those kinds of questions because I think people think that it is for the most part.
Yeah, there's a sort of societal desire to squish you into a mold of some sort to categorize so that you're understandable.
Yeah, and that's why it's important to explain what secular life is and what the beliefs are for secularists and how they're supported and understood. It helps to bridge the gap between theists and atheists and highlights the things that they have in common. So I think that's really important to recognize how many things we do have in common. And I think, too, that a lot of theists think that atheists think that they're dumb in some way.
Did atheists think that the theists are dumb?
Yeah, that atheists think that theists are dumb. And I think that's a big misconception. And I think you find that out in these kinds of conversations. And you also find out that atheists have all kinds of mistakes that they make in their thinking and their reason and their logic that are very similar to the ones theists make. They're just not making it about God. You know? So that's important too, to recognize our humanity. And that even though we don't believe in God, we do believe, some of us, believe in all kinds of things that we don't really have a good reason for. And pointing those things out can help us grow as well.
Fantastic.
So I think it's mutually beneficial.
Yeah, I love that. I love that point.
So let's maybe elaborate on that, because I think that's maybe an aspect of it that a lot of people don't think about when they're going out there. Like, I think if I'm going out to ask an atheist, Devin, I sort of want to put my best foot forward.
Sure.
You know, and I might feel intimidated that I don't know enough about certain aspects of people's religions and the like. How do you sort of navigate that?
Yeah. So I think the important thing is to not overgeneralize, for one. So not all people are going to think the same way. Right? Not all theists think exactly the same way. In fact, that's actually kind of one of the criticisms, right? Is they're not all on the same page. They all kind of have their own personal God and it's their own perspective. So, but I think it's important too, if you want to go out and engage with the public or engage with people and you want it to be productive, you kind of need, or you should, I think, do some of the research that's going to be necessary so that you can understand at least the basic concepts that they're going to probably be bringing at you, right? And we're going to go over some of these questions later.
I don't know. For me, I'm kind of the opposite. Like, it's not a date. I'm not trying to impress anybody. And I never prepare. I mean, I prepare to make sure, like, emotionally that I'm ready to go deal with strangers, and I make sure that I'm prepared, like, that I'm on time and that I, like, I'm dressed nice enough that I don't look like a slob. But man, I'd rather just take the questions just as they are. I feel, for me, my personal feeling is, like, it's more honest, and if I'm kind of more spontaneous and I'm more in the moment, then I'm going to have a better connection with this person. That's my personal feeling. So I kind of take a different approach as you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a fine approach. And I think if somebody's comfortable with that, then great. But I also think that if you're not as comfortable as Jesse is with dealing with people sort of off the cuff, that having some kind of understanding of where not only the person that you're going to be talking to is coming from, but some sort of understanding of what your answers are. You need to, or I think it can be beneficial for you to have these answers sort of thought out. So if somebody comes at you with a question, you're not just totally surprised and caught off guard. Now, that might be a great interaction and you might actually find some common ground because of, you know, your lack of understanding, and you're going to have to work it out with that person. And that person might really appreciate that. But generally speaking, if you want to be comfortable answering questions, it's really good to understand where what your understanding is and where you're going to go with the answer and why. Because you're going to hear that. You're going to hear, well, why? Why do you believe that? And you should have a better answer than a theist does for why they believe in God.
Yeah, I think maybe one of the more important things that these Ask an Atheist events can do for our community is sort of force us to think more deeply about what we believe and why we believe, you know, before we go out there. But if we do end up in a situation where we don't feel like we have that ready answer, we should be completely comfortable just conceding that. We want to model, I think, that sort of openness and willingness to change our views. That's what we're asking of them. We should be willing to do that on our own.
Absolutely. Being able and willing to say, I don't know, is perfectly good. Like, perfectly fine answer.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
As long as it's not your answer for every question.
Well, it could technically be. But if you don't know why you're an atheist, then I'm not sure you're an atheist. Like, you may not believe in God, but if you don't know why, like Chauncey said, it's good to have some first principles. We talked about that in our in our conversation.
Yeah.
It's good to have sort of a solid understanding of why you believe what you believe, especially if you're going out there specifically to answer those kinds of questions. So it gives secular people a chance to show the benefits of secular thinking and morality. So if people wonder, and I got this a lot, especially engaging with more of like the fundamentalist group, you know, they don't even seem to understand how it's possible that you don't believe in God. Or that you don't, that you're some sort of completely immoral being now that you've rejected the idea or not been convinced of the conclusion that there's a God. So,
like, you transformed.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a bizarre thing. See, like, one of the things I hear a lot is, so you don't believe in anything? It's like, no, I believe in all kinds of things, right? I believe I'm alive. I believe you're alive. You know, whatever. You go through the whole litany of things that you believe.
Okay.
But in order to show the benefits of how secular people think and how we base our morals on reality, it's great to have those answers sort of ready. And it's great to interact with the public so that they understand that just because you don't believe in God, you're not some sort of
like total
completely
degenerate.
Immoral something or another. Because a lot of people do think that. They think that if they don't have religion or God or something that dictates morality to them, that they'll be completely lost in just a sea of immorality and they'll have no compass.
Yeah, that's a fun one, actually.
And that's just not true.
To push back against, because it's so flawed. Like,
yeah.
The idea of, like, I stop believing in God, so I run out and chop people's heads off and burn babies and stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's just absurd. So it's so easy to point.
Well, and it's kind of it's kind of comical when they say, so you don't believe in anything?
Right.
It's like, no, I just don't believe in anything supernatural. I don't believe in anything that doesn't have evidence to support it. Right? I mean,
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's the quick and easy answer. But you'd be surprised, I think, for those of you that are listening that want to go out and have these types of interactions and haven't had them before, you'd be surprised at how many people are just flabbergasted at the, I don't understand how you don't believe in God. It's really quite simple.
Cool.
Yeah.
One other thing that I like about these engagements is, I guess, let me first note that they can be a challenge, especially it can be a challenge having a productive conversation with somebody who has very different views than you. And it can take practice. You might use language that is off-putting to folks if you're not experienced doing this sort of thing, but the only way you get that experience is really by going out there and trying it. And these interactions are normally relatively short. They can be from, you know, a couple of minutes to really as long as you want. Some folks will sit at our booths and talk for over an hour, but generally you have the opportunity to try something, see how it goes, reset after that event, after that interaction, and try something new. And you can keep iterating until you get your message and get to the point where you're conveying your message in a way that is both honest, authentic, but also a way that will be that the other person will be receptive to it.
Yeah.
Sweet. I appreciate you sharing that, sort of what you like about it, but I don't know if you've answered my question of why does it matter?
Oh.
So if you wouldn't mind, Chauncey, what does it matter to get out there and tell people that you're an atheist?
So when I go out there, I'm normally looking to do two things. One, I'm looking for other secular folks who are out there who may not know that there are folks in their community around them who are like them, who they can speak openly and honestly with, who they can explore concepts with that they may not be comfortable exploring with their family, with other folks in their lives. So that's one important aspect of it to me, is really just being a sort of, I don't know if beacon's the right word, but
safe harbor.
A safe harbor. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Neither. A safe harbor for secular people who may not otherwise have it. And then the other is outreaching to and really forming relationships with folks who don't believe like me and don't see the world the way I do. I think often of the gay rights movement and how it was so easy to stigmatize gay people when you didn't know any. And I think it's the same with atheists, and I think studies support that. And so knowing secular people, speaking to secular people in such a way that allows them to tell you who they are rather than hearing that second or third hand, I think can be important in changing someone's view and really correcting someone's view about what atheism is, about what being secular is, and that sort of thing. So for me, it's important to change the narrative in such a way that folks are really hearing the truth about who we are rather than somebody else's talking points.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
My reasons for wanting to, why I think it matters, similar to both of you guys in some ways. For me, it's a matter of kind of personal pride with my own identity, because I was in religion in the past, and there was quite a while where I felt like a very inauthentic person. I used to have to go promote for Scientology, and it was very tough. It was really hard to interface with strangers and try and persuade them of something, even though it was something that I was a part of. Now I'm a part of atheism, and it really lines up with who I see myself as, my real identity. And so I enjoy going out and meeting people and having conversations with them that surprise people and push against their biases. You spoke a little bit about, you know, if we don't have God, you don't believe in anything. That's biased, lazy thinking from a religionist point of view against us. So I love being a living example of how that's not true and how we are nuanced and complicated and sensitive and feeling, and we're the same. We're equivalent as religious people. We just don't believe the same as them on that one point. And similar to your second point there, Chauncey, I like to be an example. If someone's doubting, if they're in their religion and they want to come out, for me, it took years for me to get that to come to trust what I believed enough to take the steps, because it was scary and painful. I had to end some relationships. I had to basically leave people that I worked with in a professional capacity back when I was self-employed. You know, I had to leave some of those relationships behind, and it was very difficult, but it's absolutely worth it, because I can hold my head up high knowing who I am and trusting that what I'm saying and what I'm feeling are the same. It allows me to be honest intellectually with myself and with the people that I'm talking with. So for me, it's partly outreach. It's partly to make friends and to find new atheists, but it's partly for me to just put a mark and put a stick in the ground and say, this is who I am, damn it.
Yeah,
that's cool. I like that there's three totally different answers. Mine is like more to engage with Christians or Jews or Muslims about their theology. Yours, Chauncey's, is to sort of maybe find that one diamond in the rough who doesn't have an outlet and say, oh my God, another secularist, and I don't have anybody else to talk to. And then Jesse's is like a personal expression. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to throw it to you, Chauncey. Okay. Anything else that you want to add to the conversation?
So something that just sort of occurred to me as you were talking is when I first started identifying as an atheist, or in my case, an agnostic. And I guess the first point when I had someone that I could talk to about it, I think I started identifying as an agnostic when I was about 12 years old. As far as I know, I'm not aware of any other agnostics or atheists in my family. and I think it was probably many years down the line before I really started talking to people about it. Like I was in my 20s or 30s,
okay.
aside from like a brief conversation with my parents that was very brief and not really much of a conversation, okay. which is not to cast dispersions or anything, but you know, we didn't really have that deep conversation.
Have you had it since, now that you're a grown man?
So the way it evolved for me is I started identifying at 12. I think I had the first conversation, really let my parents know, when I was about 15 or so. And I don't think we talked about it again until I was about 17. And I can't say we've sat down and really had like a long conversation about it. They are extremely supportive though of my sort of life choice. They've been to the Secular Hub. And they're just very open, supportive people. So my parents are great.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Paul, anything else you want to throw down about Ask an Atheist Day?
No, I think I pretty much covered it all. Okay. I think it's great that we have such different perspectives on just the same kind of activity. That
yeah.
to me was interesting. I didn't realize that you guys had such a different perspective than I did. So it was cool.
Yeah, it's just like having a conversation down at the Hub. Everybody's going to have a different reason for why they came to a conclusion. Cool. Well, that's it for our let's see. I haven't quite figured this part out yet. These transitions always kind of screw me up. So thanks for discussing Ask an Atheist Day with me, guys. We're going to do announcements real quick. Calendar of events.
That very much got me off guard.
Yeah, it's supposed to be attention getting.
This isn't going to air till next week, right?
Yeah. This is coming out for, let's see, the 10th?
Yeah.
10th. Tuesday, March 12th. Free pizza and newbie night. This is hosted by Michelac.
And the pizza is off the hook good. Bring some toppings. I brought a turnip and he made it work.
He made a turnip topping?
Yeah, it was great too. It was really good.
Yeah, I see he took the advice to put free pizza in the official title on Meetup, but it's a get together to learn about the Secular Hub and get to know each other better. We will also be making and eating pizza with Hub members, new and old, to share experiences and get more information about the Hub's activities. So yeah, this is one of our volunteers. He's a very talented chef. He makes dough, he makes sauce and brings cheese, and people bring turnips and other toppings and put them on the pizza, put it in the oven, and then...
Cool people bring real toppings. I brought a turnip because I was like, oh, I don't have anything. I have a turnip.
I brought some olives. That was appreciated.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Turnip, not as good.
Cool.
It was. It did taste good, though.
So, doors open at 5:30. Discussion meeting starts at 6, and pizza starts to go in the oven at about 6 p.m. So, that's Tuesday, March 12th. Free pizza and newbie night.
Find that on Meetup.
Definitely.
And RSVP.
Yeah, RSVP so that our host, Michelac, knows exactly how much dough to bring along.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the week, Friday, March 15th at 6 p.m. is the game nights. So we've made game night announcements on that podcast a few times because it's a pretty fun event. It's once a month event. I went to my first one last month. Chauncey, have you been to game night yet?
I have been to a game night.
Oh, yeah? What'd you play?
I played dominoes.
Dominoes. Nice. Yep. Very strong. Very strong.
Bones.
Bones.
You did Dominion. That's your thing.
We did Pandemic, Dominion, Bananagrams.
Yeah,
I played chess one time for a brief moment until one of the tables opened up and we could get into a more inclusive game.
Oh, yeah. Chess was just the holding.
It was just sort of like a holding pattern.
Waiting room.
Yeah, we were just getting to know each other, me and this other dude. So that was cool. And kids are welcome. We have children that show up who love to play games also.
Yep. Potluck, bring your snacks.
Yeah, bring your kids, bring your snacks, bring whatever you like. There's not really a potluck per se. We usually end up getting pizza.
Oh.
But food's always welcome at the Hub.
Cool. April's book month. If you want to get in on the book discussion, you should start reading now. The book for April is Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. 100,000 years ago, at least 6 human species inhabited the earth. Today, there is just one, us, Homo sapiens. So I haven't read this book. It seems like a very interesting one. I do love history and anthropology. And here we have a discussion of entirely different species of people, like humans, but they're not our species. They're not Homo sapiens. And now they're all extinct except us. So that's an interesting topic. Either you guys interested in going to that one?
Yeah, actually, this is the first book they've done in book club that I'm like kind of really all about.
Okay,
sweet. Like, I really want to get into this book because I love ancient species.
Yeah, cool. So if you're interested in that, then you should come on down to the Hub, 3100 Downing Street. The date for the next book club meeting is April 14th at 3 p.m.
Look for the awning over the door. Sometimes people say, what? I'm at 3100. Where is the door? It's the one that says Secular Hub right above it.
Yeah. It's brown, so it's not like eye-catching.
Yeah, it doesn't jump out at you.
But yeah, it's got white print on a brown background. It's pretty easy to see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming onto the Secular Hubcast to discuss Ask an Atheist Day. Chauncey, thank you very much. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jesse.
Paul, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
And thank you very much for listening.
What's a 40? 40.